good morning and a very big WA Blues welcome to our listeners as we optimistically embark on day 8582 since the famous Navy Blues won their last premiership flag. While you all tune in for the first time on Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the committee of the official Western Australian Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Joining you for breakfast this morning is myself, John Allen, chairman of the WA Blues, Carlton Tragics, Chris Browning and David Thomason. So on the show today, as we will each week, we will review the upcoming AFL rounds along with our very own special expert panel tips, Carlton AFLW team's performance, and of course the upcoming grand final in Adelaide will be on today. We feature special guest live interviews, and this week it will be David Ellard, who has been with the WA Blues for a long time until his retirement in 2015. We cross live to the one and only Hyphen, the David Rees-Jones, and review our men's senior team with our regular segment, The Shirt Front. We also look at the Northern Blues to see who is putting their hand up for selection. The WA Blues are proudly sponsored and supported by major sponsor Hyundai, platinum sponsors Tech Tiger, Allmark, Master Picture Framers, and our home of the WA Blues, the Empire, on 220 Grayson Highway, Lathlane. Now, as it's our first show, we thought it best for our listeners who may not know much about who we are to find out about who we are. So I'm going to pass you on to David Thomas, a long-time committee member of the WA Blues, to give you all a detailed overview on your official Carlton Football Club network supporter group in WA, the WA Blues. Good morning, David. How are you today?
Yeah, good morning, John. A beautiful day here in Perth today, and it's a pleasure to be with you listeners. I've been a Carlton supporter all my life. I grew up, my dad played for East Perth with the Royals, so I spent a lot of my time at Perth Oval watching Barry Cable and Spencer and Ironmonger. One of my dad's best friends was Mike Fitzpatrick, who he went to university with, so the Royal Blues, the Navy Blues, it all seemed to fit. And when the Eagles arrived, the rest of my family became turncoats and supported the local team, but I was always a Blue and stuck with them. Other than the daughters arriving on the scene in my wedding day, the 1995 Grand Final was my greatest day of my life. I was front row right behind the goals, giving it to the lights of God and the rest of them. It was a fantastic day, and I can't believe it's 8,583 days since that day. But, yeah, we've got the Carlton number plates on. The girls were all born Blues. So, I'm sticking with fat with the Blues.
Good job, David. And, mate, you've been on the committee of the WA Blues for many, many years now. You're very, very old. So, mate, if you could please go into just explaining to the viewers a little bit about who we are, how we started, what we do and how they can get involved now.
Yep, no problem, John. Well, we are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, the most successful footy team in the AFL/VFL. We were established by the actual club itself in 1992, and we've had a long list of superb volunteers over the years, led by the likes of Mario, Tracy Bolton and Mike Scott, and now you, John. And our role is simply to help the club and its supporters. We work closely with the club in Melbourne and also the official cheer squad. And as I said, we're just volunteers. We don't try to run a profit at the group. We do use fundraising, including the sale of Carlton number plates, which I'm sure everyone wants on their car. And we use that money to say, sponsor WA Carlton players. So over the years, we've included our own WA Blues, David Ellard, who'll be talking to us soon, Sugarcane Lucas, Jess Glass-McCasker, and now Jared Gartlett. And the WA Blues are now regularly meeting at the Empire Bar in Lathlane, and we watch live games all together. And we as a committee will also help Carlton with pre- and post-game functions when Carlton hits town, which we'll be doing later on the season.
Thanks very much for that, David. Now, we've also got Chris Browning with us. He's going to be a future committee member of the WA Blues. We're still trying to talk him into that one. Chris, tell us a little bit about why you're a Carlton supporter and what it means to you.
Yeah, thanks, John. Good morning, listeners. Well, my grandparents and mother lived in Brunswick, the suburb next to Carlton, just a short walk down Sydney Road to Princess Park. They would go to the football every Saturday and watch Carlton rain, hail or shine. I think the first thing I ever saw when I opened my eyes was a Carlton jumper. I was taught the theme song at a very early age, and my grandmother and mother taught my daughter the song at the ripe old age of two. Probably the first word she ever spoke was da-da-da-da-da. I was very fortunate in the early days that I got to see the Blues win premierships. I've been at the G to see us win 8 premierships, 68, 70, 72, 79, 81, 82, 87 and the last, 95. I've also been at the G when we've lost a few, 69, 73, 86, 93 and 99. I've seen many grand finals as part of being a Carlton member. I was also a VFL AFL member. I'm also now an MCC member, as well as continuing my Carlton membership. We would always go to the football on a Saturday and stand behind the Robert Heatley stand and watch the Mighty Blues. When I was older, I became a social member, and later I joined a few of the Carlton corporate coteries. The first was the Carlton coterie for around 4 years. Then I became a Carltonian member for a few more years. While in the Carltonians, I became a Carlton hero when we were in dire need of money straight after the Elliott years. They even took his name off the grandstand and replaced it as the hero stand in recognition of all who put money into the club. I've had many fond times watching my beloved Blues and have missed going to the football regularly since being over here in Perth. But as you know, I'm a passionate and one-eyed ever supporter. So you asked me earlier, John, what it means to me to be a Blue bagger. Well, it's in my blood.
Yeah, and I take back what I said to David before about all his years of experience being very, very old. 8 premierships and a few losses there as well, mate. David, you've just been demoted to very old. Chris Brownie is the dinosaur of Carlton supporters here in WA, and we're very, very glad to have you on board. Now, just very quickly before we go into our panel predictions for Carlton in 2019, we've got one more special guest with us, Jack Allen, 8 years old. Carlton tragic as well. Jack, how did you become a Carlton supporter?
Probably from my dad when he told me...
Big good-looking guy, right? Your dad?
Yeah. That looks like Santa.
Okay, no worries. Okay, we'll leave Jack alone there now. Okay, so guys, we're just going to go around the panel quickly. Predictions for 2019. Chris, ins and outs of the squad, pros and cons of those. How do you think they're going to go this year?
Yeah, well, the only out of the whole squad, I think we've actually recruited very well. The outs is we've probably got rid of a bit of dead wood and ones that weren't going to make it. We've recruited some great kids. I think it's probably time that some of our 3 to 4 year players need to step up. That's where the big improvement will come from. We know what we're going to get from the likes of Cripper, along with Simo, Daisy Murph and Ed. It's the Jacob Wiedering, Kerno, Patricia Seaton, Harry McKay type, Zach Fisher. They need to be the big improvement.
Yeah, and to see Sam Walsh step straight in, number one draft pick, first game, 24 possessions last week. A little bit of extra motivation for you, Sam Petrosky, Seaton's, Zach Fisher's, these guys to come into it a little bit more and step up, I suppose.
Correct. Well. I mean, his first game was great. It looked like he'd been there for many years, but we can't rely on a first-yearer every week, even though his first game was fantastic.
Very true. Now, David, we've got, as always, the last few years, we haven't had much luck with injuries. We've got less injuries this year as what we did last year, but they're significant. Again, obviously, Sam Docherty, you want to just go through the long-term injuries and your take on that?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, we're not looking too bad at this point of the season, but from the Blants, Tom De Koning had a LCL knee injury, so he's out for about 8 weeks. David Cunningham this week was involved in a collision at training on Tuesday, and scans have confirmed the 21-year-old has bruised kidneys, so he'll be missing 3 to 4 weeks, which is real bad luck because he was really starting to hit his straps. Replacing him in the team will be Cameron Polson. You've mentioned Sam Dock, who's out for the season, which is a real shame. We've got Jared Pickett, who has got his own knee injury, and he's out for a substantial amount of time. Matty Cruiser, of course, he's very close to a return, and they reckon his knee's looking okay, and he should come straight back on the team when he's ready. Matthew Kennedy has a shoulder, and Jack Silvani with a minor calf issue. They're certainly close to selection, and both are playing in the VFL match as we speak at Icon Park. We've got Marchbank, McCready and Tom Williamson, who've all been suffering a contagious back issue and are a week-to-week prospect at the moment. Darcy Lang, he's got a foot issue and don't think he'll be out much longer. And on the suspension front, I guess Liam Jones was very lucky to get off with a fine for his bump on Jack Riewoldt.
Okay, very good. Now, we've got quite a few players, from my perspective, that I think need to step up this year, as we touched on before. So for me, I think Jack Silvani, you mentioned him, David. I think this is a big year for him, make or break. I know there's always been a lot of expectation on him. He's still very young, but now he's been given seemingly another role again, big-bodied midfielder. That's very important for us. We talk about taking the pressure off Cripper and having another body in there to help chop him out. The other one for me is Lockie Plowman, I think, in the back line. Size-wise, he's not your biggest key defender. He's there to take on the smaller, dangerous forwards as well. He had a pretty ordinary year, a little bit of injuries and stuff like that, but with other players coming in and trying to settle that back line again, they're the two for me that I would like to step up. Now, where are we all going to finish on the ladder this year, gents, and how many wins? So let's just go to how many wins. That'll be easier.
I think between 6 to 10 games. I think we'll finish somewhere between 16th to 10th.
David?
Well, hopefully I just want improvement on last year. I mean, I couldn't imagine we could get any worse than 2 wins. And I'm just looking more at a collective improvement of better skills, better decision-making. The wins and losses will come with time. I think it'll be a bit of a tsunami effect when it hits in. But we just need to plug away and just do those improvements as a team collectively and individuals, and it'll all come together well.
What about you, Jackie Boy? How many wins are the Mighty Blues going to have this year?
Probably about between 20 and 15.
Between 20 and 15 wins. Well, that'll be a first for the AFL, and we really look forward to that at the Carlton Blues. So the AFL round game predictions, I'm going to throw this one to Chris. We're going to go through the upcoming games of the round briefly, and we'll do some brief panel predictions on that one.
Okay, the first game is this morning. The first game is at Essendon St Kilda. Sorry, mate. Marvel Stadium, Saturday, 30th of March. The last time they met, it was at Docklands, round 21. Essendon defeated St Kilda by 43 points that day. The Bombers need their midfield to lift after last week's performance. Essendon was smashed out of the middle last week, losing clearances 12-6. And we're behind the eight ball from them. There's a lot riding on this game for the Bombers after last week's disastrous season opening loss to GWS. A defeat would really put the heat on the club early in the year, and I hope they lose. How St Kilda wins their best footy against the Gold Coast last week was great. I think it'll be tight, but I still think Essendon will win by 7 points.
Okie dokes. And then we've got also the Geelong Cats in Melbourne. So, Dave, do you want to just do a quick prediction on that one, mate?
Well, I'd like to see Melbourne play another trash game, but I'd reckon Geelong's looking pretty strong at the moment, so I'll back them.
Okie doke. And West Coast Eagles versus GWS Giants. Yeah, I think the Eagles will win that one. They'll bounce back. North Melbourne and Brisbane there, Chris.
Look, I think North will win. I think they'll bounce back from last week. They had a horrible game at Optus Stadium.
Putrid.
They've got a couple of key zins. Brisbane travelling down to Marvel Stadium. I think North will win by 18 points.
David, Hawthorn, the Western Bulldogs both had impressive and unexpected wins last week. What do you see going on with that one?
Well, I think if Thor plays again, the Bulldogs will be a chance. But I think Hawthorn is looking pretty good at this stage, surprisingly. So I think the Hawks will win that one comfortably.
Okay, and the last game of the round for round two, Gold Coast Suns versus Fremantle, Chris.
Well, the Dockers were superb last week. I hadn't seen them play like that for many years. Even though they're travelling up the Gold Coast and it'll be a nice, dewy night, I think the Dockers will get up by 15 points.
Okay, no worries. Now, we'll be going to a break very, very soon, but before we do, I just thought this would be a good opportunity for a couple of minutes to thank the WA Blues sponsors who support us greatly for the supporters, for the benefits of our WA Blues events. Our major sponsor, Hyundai WA. Platinum sponsors, Tech Tiger, for all your web design needs. Master Picture Framers and Allmark Printing, Allmark and Associates. So also we will just have a quick discussion, guys, I think, on the any big stories that we have of mention. And look, the one that I was interested in was the AFLX. So, David, I'll just go to you. What's your take on the AFLX? Do you think it was a success? Do you think it was exciting? Good for football leading up to the season? What was your take on that?
To be honest, the only highlight I saw in AFLX was how awesome Paddy Cripps was, who really tore him apart. And other than that, I watched it and then, you know, was entertained a little bit, but I've never been a big bash fan in the cricket. I'm a traditional test cricketer. And, yeah, I well, it was okay, but I'd rather spend the money at Grassroots or AFLW.
Well, I thought there was one other good player in the AFLX. Happened to be a Carlton player as well. Zach Fisher really stood up in the AFLX. Again, non-biased program, this one, the Breakfast with the Blues. Also, just like to mention that the WA Blues sponsor a WA player from Carlton every year, and this year we're sponsoring once again, second year in a row, Jared Garlett. He's had an interesting start to the year. A lot of criticism from supporters on social media, but we wish Jared all the very best of luck for the year and hope that he can take the game by the scruff of the neck today against the Port Power. So, just one more thing before we go to an ad. We'll plug our CFC memberships. So, in WA, we have the interstate memberships, and as part of that deal with Hyundai, you get $1,500 cash back if you buy a new Hyundai. So, look, we hope the WA supporters can get on board those, and it's the best way to support the club. There's other options there that are a little bit cheaper. If you don't think you're going to get value out of that, we can still be a part of the club. And we are now going to go to our first break. So this is our first show, so please forgive me there for the pregnant pause, but we'll go to our sponsors and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. Tech Tiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation, and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership. carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a blue bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, listeners. You're with Breakfast with the Blues on day 8582 since the last Blues Premiership flag, and we sincerely hope you're enjoying the program so far with your footy expert panellists. Carlton Football Club Tragics and WA Blue Committee members, myself, John Allen, David Thomason, Chris Brownie and Jack Allen. Now, at this time, we have a very special treat for you as we cross the live to a recently retired AFL West Australian player of the Old Dark Navy Blues and a man who really did embody everything that it means to leave it all on the field for his teammates. From 2008 to 2015, this man represented the Old Dark Navy Blue of the Carlton Football Club for a total of 63 senior games. During this time, he was proudly supported by the WA Blues as their sponsored player, and we're delighted to have him join us this morning as we welcome David Allard to the show. Good morning, David, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues. How are you going?
Going well, thanks for having me.
Very good. Mate, I'm going to throw you to the vicious lion's den that is our panel for a few questions in a moment, but before I do, It has to be stated that you really were a popular member of the playing group, the cheer squad, the supporters, and it was really due to your attitude whenever you pulled on the famous jumper. What it did mean to you to represent the Carlton Football Club, representing one of the oldest clubs in the world, did it motivate you for your performance to just go that little bit further, playing for such a famous and old club?
Yeah, it definitely did. When you're walking through the rooms, as a young kid coming into an AFL club, I suppose going to any AFL club was your dream, but to walk into such a proud club with so many legends that embraced you, as Carlton is, it was such a special time in my footy career. But it was something that it always drives you. You know, we had the likes of Craig Bradley, Silvani, Sticks down at every, McKay down at every training session. So just to see those sort of guys around the footy club consistently, Diesel Williams, it was always something that you always push you to strive that little bit harder for, because you've seen how special their bond is and sort of what they achieved for their playing career. So just having those guys around always pushed on not only myself but the group to try to emulate or try to get something along the lines of what they achieved.
Yeah, Chris Browning here, David. Good morning, and how are you?
Very well, yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. David, Hi. You debuted in 2008, the year you were rookie drafted by Carlton, and in 2009 you won the Carlton Football Club's Best Clubman Award,
yep.
And the Northern Blues Best and Fairest Award, the old Laurie Hill, or still the Laurie Hill Trophy. How did it feel at that time to already be making such an impact around your peers as you did, even at that stage, start taking any new players under your wing in any leadership role?
Yeah, it was a strange one, because I obviously played my first game back here, which was an amazing experience to debut on the home ground, in front of obviously all my family and obviously all the WA Blues. But I played that one game, and then in my second year, at the end of that year, I had some meetings at the end of the year, and it was sort of up in the air on sort of where I sat at the footy club. So I went away that pre-season, obviously, to work really hard and to push myself to make sure I wasn't sort of in that position again. And then the following year, I never played a senior game, even though I felt that I was playing some reasonable footy in the Northern Bullant at that stage. So, but I really enjoyed. It sounds funny, but I really enjoyed that year. It was a year that we made a grand final, and I just really enjoyed playing footy and. I suppose throughout that, it sort of taught me a lot of lessons about sort of how hard you have to work and how persistent you have to be to play AFL. I was lucky enough to obviously play that one in my first year, and as a kid, you sometimes might think that it's going to come again. But to play a whole year of senior, I suppose reserves footy, it made me really hungry to succeed. And throughout that year, I suppose I didn't want to get down on myself or anything like that, so I embraced some of the younger kids that were coming through and really tried to galvanise that reserves group and have a real tilt at winning a flag. Obviously, they're so special to win at any level. So, I suppose, and then to get honoured at the end of that year as the Best Clubman Award was something that was really special, and it's still something that's really special to me at the moment.
Yeah, good morning, David. This is David Thompson. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
For a period of time, you were mentored under the watchful eye of Chris Judd, who was still tearing the opposition apart. I've heard you were described by somebody as the shadow of Chris Judd. Tell us a little bit about what it was like to have Chris at the club, and did he take you under his wing, and what did you get out of his experience?
Yeah, I suppose as a young kid, I was so fortunate to my first year at the footy club was also Chris's first year. So we were both new to the actual footy club at the same time. Obviously, as a young kid, I was someone that over here that you just followed, week in, week out. He was obviously all over the papers. He was an absolute superstar when I was growing up, and a kid that I used to love watching play footy. So it was a bit daunting at the start, but. It wasn't so much, as a young kid, you always want to try to emulate the best, that are going around, and I was so fortunate to have him in the side. And he's such a guy that's so willing to help anyone, And it's not so much sit down and have a lot of chats and coffees about, you know, about footy or anything like that. It's more about the way he prepared to play football, the amount of time he spent getting his body right, getting the most out of his body or his nutrition, his diet, which is something as a young kid when you come in you don't really understand. So that was one of the big ones about just the preparation that, you know, it takes at AFL level to play week in, week out, because, as I said, as a young kid, you go from playing Colts footy to, you know, playing maybe a few senior games of waffle footy. For me, it was never really about the preparation or anything like that. It was more just going out and having a kick and that sort of stuff. So when you go into an AFL level, it smacks you in the face pretty quick about, you know, how hard it is to actually prepare week in, week out and get your body up for each game. And it was just such a lesson that that I learned from early on in my career, and I was so fortunate to have Chris, you know, as a role model there and someone that could mentor me through, you know, those first couple of years of really setting a really strong foundation in terms of just the off-field side of playing football.
David, in 2010, you were elevated to the senior list and had your best year in 2011, playing a career-high 19 games for the season with strong tackling, accurate goal-kicking, which actually bore you 15 goals. Is there anything that you would now like to say to the umpires in regards to you only receiving a career total of 2 Brownlow votes?
I was pretty stoked with those 2. I didn't think I'd get any, so I was stoked to get a couple of votes there. But 2010, was halfway through the year, I suppose there's a few changes were made, and that's where I got my chance. And fortunately for me, we played finals that year. It was a great experience, and then to go away and build on that for 2011, I had, you know, a solid foundation behind me, and it was our best year at the footy club when I was there. Throughout the time I was there, 2011 was probably the year that we like to remember. It was the year that we thought we had the players and we had the right game plan. Everything was going well. We thought we had the list to obviously go further. And unfortunately, you know, we miss out by a kick over here.
So that
was heartbreaking, because we always look back on that one now, and we go back to, we played Geelong back at the MCG where we had them on post that year. So anything could have happened. That's all the old.
It was certainly primed for a big finish, and those last couple of minutes pumping it into that 50 there, we were very unlucky not to actually get away with the win in that game.
It was, yeah.
Wasn't that a free kick to Walker in the goal square?
Yeah, we always think he was a bit stiff there. So anyway, it wasn't to be, but yeah, 2011 was definitely the highlight of my career.
Mate, you started at Swan Districts and have returned there now. What does the future hold for you with footy, and how are the Swans going to fare this year?
Yeah, I always was going to return to WA at some stage, and I was never going to go anywhere else to go back to the club that gave me the chance to play AFL footy. So it's been great to go back there and pass on some of my experiences. We've got a really good group of young kids at the moment that have come through from our Colts side last year, mixed with some guys that have got some good experience. So I think it's definitely going to be an exciting year for the footy club. I think we've got, you know, the rest of the comp might come back a little bit. It's going to be pretty even competition. But for me now, it's, you know, I suppose something similar to what Chris gave me when I was a younger guy coming through to play senior footy for my first year. Going to go down there with a leadership role and mentor some of these younger kids and try to give them the best chance to obviously prepare themselves right and play some decent footy to give themselves a really good crack at obviously playing at the highest level. And then I've got a game today against Claremont, so I'll see if I can get a kick today and push for, you know, a few games this year. But I suppose next year and going forward, I'm not 100% sure on sort of where I sit in terms of playing wise. But I'll definitely be in, I wouldn't mind going into some sort of development coaching role with some younger kids, because I really enjoy that aspect of footy, and coaching now is more about the seeing the younger generation, or the younger guys come through and succeed. So that's something that's a driving factor for me now.
And just while we're quickly talking about Swan Districts, we'll roll straight into our condolences to the Sidebottom family this week with the very, very sad news of the passing of Gary Sidebottom, Swan Districts stalwart. I was down at Bassendean banging the fences with all the other little kids behind the goals. Loved watching Gary and the way he went about it, and Geelong and St Kilda. So we'll go on to Chris for one more question.
David, as a young man from WA moving over to Melbourne to the big time and playing for a big club like Carlton, we know that being away from family can be difficult. How much did it help just having additional support, and in particular, of course, the proud support of an entire state being sponsored by the WA Blues?
Yeah, it was. It's obviously going over as a younger kid. It is daunting at the time. And the footy club's great in providing support, but knowing that you had a whole state behind you, and you'd come back, and I think it was all at the Odin. Back when I was playing in WA. So even for my family to be embraced by the WA Blues when he might have snuck down for a couple of games just at the Odin, just to see the support that the footy club had, it made him feel really proud. And obviously when he's feeling that, like when your family feels proud, it sort of boosts you. But we have a few club functions and that sort of stuff where we have dinner with our player sponsors, and they are always highlights for me. You know, sit down with someone that understood where I grew up. You know, you talk about the suburbs or the people. You know, WA is a smaller place, so there's always someone that knows someone and stuff like that. So they are always they great nights and something I look forward to, sitting down and just talking with a fellow West Australian. And then obviously when you come back and play here, I think there's no doubt that the WA supporter base is one of the larger ones in. When you move out of Melbourne into state, and that I know personally it was great for me, but not only West Aussies, but the rest of the playing group, and that really embraced flying into WA, and it was one of the trips that everyone, not only WA boys, but everyone used to look forward to coming over and seeing the support and that sort of stuff at our open training sessions, or it was always down at that down at the far end of the Subi Oval there. It was always great.
Well, David, you were certainly one of our favourite sponsored players. Always generous with your time, and wonderful to spend time with you. Mate, we do have to wrap it up, though, unfortunately. Not without saying, on behalf of the WA Blues community, mate, thanks very much for always representing the Carlton Football Club in the way you did on the field and off it, with pride and determination. And today, the greatest number 46 in Carlton's history, for generously giving up your time, we will award you a solid 5 Brownlow votes. And well done to Chris Brownie for the whack on the 2 Brownlow votes earlier as well. I hope you enjoyed that. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, and thanks for all the support throughout the
years. Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to throw it out there, guys. David Ellard, do you guys have any particular memories? For me, towards the end of his career there, when he got his body right, just before he retired, he had a couple of great years there, especially that year where he was kicking those snags, bag of 4 goals. Anything you guys would like to say in passing there?
He was always hard at it, always in and under. That's what I recall of David.
I used to just love that he used to just get in there and give it a go. He would get shot down by all the supporters, but he just kept on plugging away every year, every game. And he overachieved. I think no one expected him to play the games he played and do all the things he did on the field. So, I will always remember that first goal he kicked at Subi, and, God, I think I lost my voice in about 2 seconds after that.
Now, just quickly before we go to another commercial break, I'd just like to remind everyone, as the WA Blues, as the WA Blues Committee, that we are based at the Empire in Lathlane there, 220 Great Eastern Highway. We've got a couple of upcoming events, big ones. Sunday, the AFLW Grand Final, Carlton versus Adelaide in Adelaide. Now, we are going to be down there from 9:45 a.m. They're opening up early for us. We'd love to see as many WA Blues supporters come down there. We've got a free sausage sizzle, face painting for the kids, outdoors watching the big LED screen. The following week, we got the Sydney Swans for round 3. It's a 10:45 start on Saturday. So if you can get down to those events, that'd be fantastic. If you want to find out more about the WA Blues, you can find us on WA Blues Facebook page and on Twitter, and the website www.wablues.com. So if you need to know anything, just get on those and get around that. No other real, you know, it's interesting this time of year. There's usually a bit of news about Carlton or tragedy or anything else, but everything seems to be travelling pretty well. Sam Doherty was big news. We got no off-field dramas. We got Marchbank coming back maybe in the next week or two. So, look, we'll go on to an ad break. And when we come back, regular segment, The Shirt Front, with the one and only The Hyphen, David Rees-Jones, to give a preview of our last game and a preview of the upcoming game today against Port Adelaide. There should be a few whacks there, fellas. Look forward to that. We'll see. Speak to you soon after this break.
Blue Baggers of WA. Be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation, and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership. carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. TechTiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back, listeners. Now listening to Breakfast with the Blues. You are now listening to Breakfast with the Blues on day 8,582 since the last Blues Premiership. As we're now joined by the one and the only, the Hyphen, 1987 Norm Smith medalist and Premiership champion, David Rees-Jones, on our regular segment, The Shirt Front, reviewing the previous round performance, the upcoming game against the Power, and as always, with no punches pulled. G'day, David. How you going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. How's it all going?
Yeah, not too bad. Mate, it is our first show of the year and the first time the WA Blues have had our breakfast radio program, so as that's the case, and this is going to be our regular segment, mate, we would love to know what you've been up to in the off-season, what will be your involvement in the coming season in the media, and, mate, don't pull any punches, as always.
Well, you might be surprised to learn I'm actually coaching a girls' under-14 footy team this year, so out of Doncaster, my daughter, my youngest daughter's playing in that. I'm actually busy at the moment visiting my oldest daughter, who's just had her second child, so...
Yes, so yeah, congratulations there, mate.
Times in the getting on to more important things. I'm still involved with the spirit of Carlton here at the past players of Carlton. So, yeah, that's still ticking along all right. And following the Blues, of course, getting along to as many games as I can.
Absolutely, and always a stalwart in that regard. I'll just throw you over to Chris for a tick.
Yeah, good morning, David. How good was it to kick back, enjoy a cordial or two over the weekend and just enjoy watching the footy again?
Look, I've always enjoyed watching the footy. I mean, it's been a huge part of my life, so I've never really stopped watching it. I mean, at times I look at it and think, gee, is this, you know, heading in the right direction? And but look, I think, you know, overall footy's it's a unique game, and let's hope we keep it that way, because it's I think it's the best sport played anywhere in the world.
Yeah, good morning, David. This is David Thomason. Just wondering, what was your honest take on the round one game by the Blues? Who didn't perform and who impressed you? And seriously, don't hold back. Give us all hyphen.
Yeah, look, obviously the obvious one was Charlie Furno, who had a quiet day on the day. And but, you know, good players bounce back, and let's hope, because he is a good player. He's a very good player. And, you know, I don't think they hit my rocket these days. I mean, back in my day, he would have had strips torn off him for a performance like that, but look, I'm pretty confident that he'll be able to bounce back this week. I was at the game last week, and the Rabbits in the headlights early in the game, they really were shell shocked and looked like Richmond were just going to demolish them. But to their credit, and you've got to remember, they're a very young group of players. To their credit, they fought back, and they could have quite easily run the towel in. I mean, Richmond would have been sinking over the summer, you know, over the whole pre-season, thinking they've let a premiership get away. And so they would have worked pretty hard and come out firing, which is what they did. But to our boys' credit, they were able to, you know, second and third quarters in particular, they were really able to match it and probably play better than Richmond over that period of the match. So the signs are pretty good. You know, I thought a couple of players were down on the day. I think Mitch McGovern's taken a little bit of time to, you know, fit in to the team. I thought Mark Murphy was a little bit disappointing. I expect him to have a fantastic year not being captain and being able to just play footy and get out in the zone and you know, it's a different role for him to do too. So he's not going to be in the hustle and bustle of it. He can get out.
And interesting point there. Sorry to interrupt there, jump in there, Dave. Mate, interesting point that you make there about the players. You know, back in the day, if you had a bad game, you know, you wouldn't be able to have a cigarette at half time. They'd ban that from you. You know, nowadays they get a half an hour with the Dalai Lama and a hydro pool, a bit of psychological counselling to try and get them up for next week. Very different times that we live in. Mate, we're going to go straight into the game against the Power, though. And who would you like to see sort of lift? You talked about Mark Murphy and Charlie Curnow. How did you rate Port Adelaide's game against the D's? And how do you see it panning out, the Power versus the Blues this week?
Look, they come out, and they were probably one of the most impressive teams last week. I thought that they come out really physically attacked Melbourne, and I expect them to do the same against the Blues. I mean, you've got a young group of players, and obviously they want to take the wind out of their sails early. So I expect Port Adelaide to be pretty aggressive at our players, to be honest, early in the game. I think they'll try and get that initiative, but you've got to weather the storm. And you know, I mean, they're all men these days. I mean, we call them boys and young blokes and whatever, but if you pick the run out there, you've got to stand up. And I think they would have learned a lot from last week. I mean, we had six new players, I think, in our team last week. It takes a long time to gel as well and then get used to each other in the, you know, in the hurly-burly of the real stuff. And it's going to take probably, you know, half a season for these guys to really get to know each other. And they're, you know, everyone's got their little idiosyncrasies that they take out onto the footy field. And it takes a while to get used to, you know, players and how they turn and what they do. So, look, it's going to be an interesting game. I think we'll bounce back, though. It's going to be a tough one. I think Port Adelaide, and the way they played last week, they're going to be right up there this year. But look, I can honestly say I think any team that takes Carlton a little bit easier this year is going to be in for a rude awakening. I think you know, we've got the quality of players now, even though they are a bit on the young side, the quality of players to be able to beat anyone.
If we go on recent history, David, I think it's our turn to win. It's gone Carlton, Carlton, Port, Port, Carlton, Carlton, Port, Port. So the next one in that is Carlton win.
Sounds like someone else has been channeling the Dalai Lama during the week as well. Nice work, Chris.
I'm a putter and I've never stuck to any of those sort of things. I'm not very good at punning either, but I might try that one anyway. I might have a few bob on Carlton.
One thing we got is Justin Westhoff plays his 250th game this week, and he was very good for Port Adelaide last week, kicking 5 goals. We've also got Mitch McGovern, who plays his 50th game as well for Carlton this week, so hopefully the boys can do good for him.
Yeah, look, I don't fall into all these sort of, you know, guys playing whatever game. I mean, you go out to win every game. I mean, it's just, these are the best... best players in the country, and you know, they don't go out to, you know, I mean, obviously it can be tough at times, and guys will get down, and form will drag down a bit, but and injuries can play a role, but overall there shouldn't be any excuses, really. Shouldn't be any at all. It's, you know, 22 against 22 out there, and 18 against 18 out on the field, so you know, you just got to tough it out sometimes, and as I said, look, if it's Port, drop 5 or 10%, it's just in their attitude. I'm talking above the shoulder now. You know, the Blues will get hold of them, and, you know, they'll run away with a win.
Absolutely. Now, David, in your heyday, sort of growing up, guys like yourself, Bruce Dool, Kenny Hunter, were people that I really looked up to and followed, and they were heroes of mine. But, you know, you played your best footy in my mind on the flanks and on the wing. How do you see Carlton's midfield and really the defensive midfield as well, the guys on the half-back flank? You know, we started off this rebuild from the back line. Now, back line was pretty solid. I thought that fell away last year. Where do you see from our half-back line and through the midfield going now, especially it's been strengthened with Sam Walsh?
Yeah, look, I think we're the best midfielder in the competition in Paddy Cripps, so there's a star just there to start with. But, you know, over and above that, you know, Fisher's showing some terrific signs. Paddy Dow, you know, people, you know, he's a number one draft pick, and he wasn't a number one draft pick for nothing. He's got a lot of talent, this young fella.
Absolutely.
And we talk about Walsh, another number one draft pick, and these are kids who are going to play. You know, they're 250-plus game players, and hopefully all of those games are at Carlton. And these kids are going to excite Carlton supporters this year. I mean, that's the real thing to look at. More so than the wins and losses, you're just going to look at those kids and go, Jesus, you know, give him another 20, 30 games under his belt. How good is this going to be? How good is this one going to be? And that's, you know, the program Carlton's had down there is the rebuild. It's not the rebuild that, you know, to fall into the finals and hopefully win one. It's to get a quality squad that's going to stay up around the top for a long period of time. And the kids have all bought in. They've all extended contracts and so forth, so they've bought into it. And it's really exciting times. I mean, even if we can get beat last week, you can look at a lot of positives and walk away from that saying, you know, a couple of years' time, this is going to be us. We're going to be right up there.
Yep, no, and well said. Mate, unfortunately, that's about all we have time for today, but as always, really, really appreciate your generous time and your raw comments. Mate, we wish well, of course, for Carlton. We wish well Grandad on the new arrival about a week ago. I hope you have fun with that one. And we look forward to talking to you again next week, especially after we've had a win against the Power. Not too many whacks today, mate. You've done pretty well to hold back there. We'll see how the season pans out.
I'm sure there'll be a whack or two involved along the way somewhere.
And I look forward to it.
Thanks very much.
No worries, mate. Thanks very much for your generous time as always. David Rees-Jones, a hyphen, everyone.
Thank you, David.
Okay, guys, what are your greatest memories of the hyphen? There's so many. I mean, obviously the Norm Smith medal in 1987. Great to have him on the show as a regular part of our show with the segment, The Shirt Front. Greatest memory, Chris?
One thing I remember is when we were playing Sydney, and Diesel Williams was playing for Sydney, and Diesel broke his jaw.
I wish we'd have brought this up while we had him on air. We know how he loves the diesel.
Yeah, and he chased him the whole game to try and pay back. And you know they didn't get on too well when Diesel moved to Carlton. That's a memory sticks with me.
What about you, Dave?
To be honest with you, what I most know about David Rhys-Jones is meeting him after his career. I always had this vision of him being this tough, nuggety bloke that was just fire and brimstone. But when I actually met him in real life, I couldn't believe how nice a bloke he was. And to me, that's the real David Rhys-Jones, not this guy that we hear about on the field getting most reports in the history. It's just he's a really, really good bloke.
You couldn't have said that better. And it's the white line fever. He was a very professional man as a footballer, but he really did have that white line fever. Outside of that, absolute gentleman. Still a great guy to have a frothy with at the functions and always generous with his time. Now, as we mentioned earlier, we got the AFLW Grand Final. We really must get into that. Very special weekend, history-making for the club. David, I'll throw it over to you. Mate, bit of a review of this game coming up on Sunday, the AFLW Grand Final.
This is 91.3 Sport FM. I'm David Thomason, and this is the AFLW segment proudly brought to you by our friends at Tech Tiger. Sorry, just had to go with that. All right, so we're in a grand final, everybody. Get excited. Tomorrow, the Women's Carlton Blues take on the Adelaide Crows at Adelaide Oval. They're the two form teams of the league, and they've won both their respective conferences. The Crows won their last seven games, and the Blues five of their last six. The Blues stormed into the grand final after a 36-point win over Frio using intensity and ferocity. Frio had one of the best lists in the AFLW, but our guys just got in there and gave it a go. Taylor Harris is starring up forward. So strong, taking great marks, laying massive tackles, and she hit the scoreboard with the opening goal of the game. She had a week in the spotlight, we know all about that, and she showed class on and off the field. It was a real team effort led by our captain, Bree Davey, coming off last year's knee injury. Lauren Brazel and Maddie Prepaskis, crackers. Vesico, I love her athleticism. She's so tough to control, and she's such a joy. Coach Daniel Harford has a fierce, modern and exciting game plan that's taken the Blues from the very bottom of the ladder all the way to the grand final. And all this talk about two conferences, one weak and one strong, well, I really hope the Blues can show them that they're the best team in the league. But Adelaide has been the standout team this season and showed their form with a crushing victory over Geelong, scoring 11 goals to 1. The Crows are led by their super co-captain, Aaron Phillips, who was probably the best player in the league this season. Ebony is another ball magnet the Blues will need to shut down. And the Crows will have the league's leading goals kicker in Stevie Lee Thompson. Head to head, Crows are killing us. They've won all their games against us so far. And the likes of Chloe Dalton will need to kick straight in order for us to win. Chloe was a member of the goal-winning Australian Women's Rugby Sevens team at the 2016 Olympics. Our back line will be under pressure. Gabriella Pound has taken the game to a new level in 2019. She's also in the Virgin Australian AFLW's All-Australian squad. The 24-year-old is yet to miss a game for Carlton in 3 years, and she's formed a strong back line with Nicola Stevens, Karen Harrington, Jess Hosking and Jade Van Dyke.
Mate, last time we played them, we were 17 points up at three-quarter time at Icon Park, and they just sort of overrun us at the end. Do you see, I think one of the key matchups would be Bree Davey. She'd be perfect to stop Erin Phillips in the midfield and around the ground.
Has anyone ever been able to stop Erin? I reckon she's just a fantastic athlete.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she
Absolutely.
Is, but I think Bree would be the perfect matchup for her. Also, Chelsea Randall, the last time that she played on Taylor Harris when Taylor played for the Brisbane Lions, she was only 19, but Chelsea Randall gave her a touch-up, so I think Taylor Harris would want to put in a big one today too.
And look, just to wrap it up, I think last week was such a big week for the women's team for Carlton. You know, we had the Taylor Harris controversy and everything else, a lot of emotion. They came out as underdogs, smashed Frio. Yep. It's been a big week. It'll be interesting to see how much that drained them coming into this grand final. If they can get over Adelaide and win it, it's just got to be a great performance. You know, all the controversy over the divisions and everything else, and Carlton shouldn't have been there to come up. If they can knock those two teams over, well and truly deserved champions of the AFLW. Now, we do have
Best place to watch the game tomorrow, yeah, John?
Well, thank you for reminding me to mention that one, Mr. Thomason. Of course, as mentioned earlier, the WA Blues will be hosting an event at the Empire, 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane, and all the supporters will be there. Face painters, free sausage sizzle, open from 9:45 a.m. We'd love all the WA supporters, if you're listening in, get down to the Empire tomorrow morning and come and watch it with us, win, lose or draw. We always do it together because we are the Navy Blues. And I think that'll just about wrap it up. We've got to go to our final commercial break, and then we're going to be bringing in the WA Magpies for their segment from 10 till 11. Before we go, thank you very much, David Thomason. Thank you very much, Chris Brownie. Special guest speaker, Jack Allen. Thank you very much, all of you, for joining the panel.
Pleasure.
Carna Blues.
And thanks for the your welcomes back, guys. That was sensational. Perfect radio. This is the first time we've done this radio show, so thanks for bearing with us. We can't wait till next week, and as always, go Blues.
Go Blues. And they will know that.